Bibles once again, we'll turn back to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. How many had a better sleep last night than the night before? I know I did. I went to sleep as soon as my head hit that pillow, and I said good night, and I was out. And so I was glad to get some good rest last night, and so I'm thankful to be here again this morning. Proverbs chapter number 4, and verse number 23 is where we're at. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Let's say it together if we could, all right? Proverbs 4, verse 23, I'll give again the reference and then we can say it together. Proverbs 4, 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Last night we talked about the importance of our heart. Your heart is the most valuable part of you, and it is a part of you that from it emanates all the things, the decisions that you make in life. And it's important that we have a proper heart before the Lord. And so, yes, last night we talked about having a calloused heart, and we asked the question, what kind of heart do we have? And we want to make sure that we have a proper heart before the Lord, and a calloused heart is one that is hardened toward the things of God. And it doesn't matter whether you've been saved a short time or a long time, you can develop a heart that becomes hardened toward God. We think of Saul. Saul was a man that started off right, but because of his disobedience grew in a hardness of heart, where we see at the end of his life, he is consulting with witches and running against what God has for him to do. And so we don't want to end up like that. We want a heart that is tender and soft toward God. Now we know about David. David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. Now was David a perfect man? No, David was not perfect. David did wrong. In fact, David did some very heinous and wicked things. But David was a man that, when he was confronted with his sin, did something about it. In the same manner in which he fell, he often responded back to the Lord in a contrite spirit. We'll see some about that today. But I want us to make sure that we have a heart that is right before the Lord. But I want us to see here, Proverbs chapter number 4, we mentioned it, that we need to have a right heart. It's out of it are the issues of life. And I want us to look at another heart. We saw the calloused heart, but today I want us to notice the careless heart. The careless heart. The heart that is unconcerned. I am burdened for young people today. I'll ask them, as I have for a number of years, what is it that you're going to do with your life? What are you going to do? What's your plan? Do you have anything? I don't know. Do you like anything? I don't care. And there's an attitude of carelessness about young people today. I don't understand it personally. I've had a goal in my life from not too long after I got saved. I'm doing exactly what I know God wants me to do, and I'm thankful to participate in that. And I've had a goal as a result to accomplish that. But I talked to many young person, and I just don't know. I don't care. I'm just going through life. I'm just doing my thing, and whatever makes me happy, and that's just the way that I look at it. And can I say to you, that's a dangerous place to be. And I want us to see some causes this morning of a careless heart. A careless heart. And I believe we can start off by seeing that a careless heart comes as we are committed to pleasure and pride. Would you turn over, and we're going to look in our Bible again. Isaiah chapter number 47 and verse number 8. See it with me. Isaiah 47 and verse number 8. This is speaking to Babylon. And notice what the prophet Isaiah says to the city of Babylon, to that city state there, as he preaches and cries against it. He says, therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Notice here the prophet says about the nation of Israel, nation of Babylon, you dwell carelessly. You are unconcerned about what's going on in life. You don't care. There have been times when I take my wife out on dates, and I've been married 21 years now, and I still date my wife, and that's a good thing to do, and I take my wife out, and I try to please my wife. That's always a good thing, guys. When you get married and you have a wife, try to please your wife. That makes it happy home and that kind of a thing. And so when I take her out, I say, hey, babe, where do you want to go to eat? And she'll tell me, I don't care. And I'm like, well, that doesn't help me. Where do you want? I want to please you. Where do you want to go to eat? And what would you feel like eating? Well, I just don't care. I don't really care. And it's frustrating. Until I came to a men's conference here, Brother Troy, and learned that when you're at the men's conference, you get all kinds of good things when you come to West Branch. But I learned a valuable lesson when I came to the men's conference. I believe it was 2 years ago. One of the preachers got up and said, when your wife says, I don't care, you just get in the car and you go to the place where she or her favorite restaurant, and you just go there and don't worry about it. And so I tried that, and it works. And my wife's happy, and so on. She says she didn't care, but she cared. But at the same time, we can get to a place in our life where I just don't care. I don't care about what's happening in life. I don't care about. I don't care what's happening around me. I don't care that the world is going to hell. I don't care about any of that stuff. I only care about me and what applies to me and what makes me happy and what pleases me. And can I say to you, that's a selfish lifestyle, and it doesn't bring any pleasure in the long run. And yet these people here in Babylon had dwelt carelessly. They were vain in their security. They were without any consciousness of danger or without any alarm in their life. And can I say to you, we can live in that case. They never would know sadness, they thought. They never would know loneliness or affliction like a wife without her husband or the loss of a child. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. Can I say to you, Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. You're going to have trouble in life. It's going to happen. And yet these people, they just didn't care. They just didn't care. Can I ask you this morning, when you came to camp, did you care about coming to camp? Say, Pastor, I came because somebody paid my way, and that's why I'm here. I came to play some games. I played to come, and I came to have a good time. I came to win some trophies. I came to play an instrument or sing a song or whatever the case might be. That's why I came. I didn't come to camp for all this other stuff. I'm here because, and I'm letting you shout at me just because I got to get through that to get the other stuff. Can I say to you, that's the whole wrong attitude. It's a wrong attitude. It's a careless heart. It's a careless heart. And it often comes because I'm committed to pleasure. What makes me happy? That's what I want. I want what makes me happy. They used to say it this way, if it feels good, do it. If what makes you happy, makes you feel good, then pursue after that. But then also I find these people are not just committed to pleasure and pride, but also there's a constant resting and not changing. Zephaniah chapter number 1 verse 12. Just listen to the verse. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 12. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and I will punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Here the prophet Zephaniah is speaking about how these people had grown comfortable where they were. I don't need to change. I'm fine where I am. I don't want to do anything different than I'm already doing. I like my life as it is. Can I say to you, the Christian life is a life of change. The Bible says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our life ought to be a life of constant change, being more conformed to the image of Christ today than I was yesterday. Can I say to you, I'm not like Christ all the time. Neither are you. But you know, it ought to be our desire to become more like Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How would Jesus respond? How would Jesus address the situations that I find in my life? How would that happen there? And we want to be careful that we understand that our life needs to be changing. Psalm chapter 55 verse 19 says, God shall hear and afflict them, even them that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. You see, we've not changed. We don't allow God to change our life. And as a result, we don't fear God. Can I say to you, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. God is alive. And God desires to change your life and change my life. I pray, as I've often prayed when I've come to camp. I've come to camp, I don't know, Brother Troy, probably 20 times in different years. At one time, it was years and years in a row. And I enjoy coming to camp. I really do. And when I pray and I come to camp and I pray for young people as they come to camp, Lord, change their life. I believe camp will change your life if you let it. And it's not camp. It's not the preachers. It's the Word of God. And God wants to change your life. You say, well, I like my life the way it is. Can I say to you, if you'll submit to God and let God change your life, it'll be better than you ever thought it could be. It'll be ever better than you've ever thought. God, because God knows you, and God loves you, and God wants to bless you, but God also wants to make your life. Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life." You think you have life now? If you will give your life to the Lord and allow Him to change your life, He says, "I'll give it to you more abundantly." And so here, these people, they were content to I don't care, it doesn't matter, I'm not concerned. And so these people, this careless heart, Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Woe to them that are in ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria." And he says, woe to those people that are at ease. My life is just mine, I don't care. Can I say to you, we need to have a life that has some purpose in it. And we ought to care. As I read the Bible, I read about people like Josiah. Josiah had a care for his people. He cared about them. Hezekiah cared about the people, his nation. They were one people, a singular individual. You say, "Pastor, I'm just one young person. What could I do to change the nation?" You know, it's interesting. You ever gone to graduation services? I don't. They're not my favorite thing to do. I'll go sometimes. But you know, some of the unsaved people have got the idea that they can change the world. And then they know how to fix it, and that, you know, you adults, you guys are a bunch of idiots and you don't know what you're doing, and we're going to come and fix all this, all the problems and stuff. And I'm thinking, you're an 18-year-old punk kid. You can't figure out life. You're not even living on your own. How in the world can you figure out how to fix the world for us? But anyway, I don't say that. That just goes through my brain and things. And then I wonder where they are, you know, 3 years down the road, and we're further messed up than when we were before. So they think they can change the world. Can I say it to you, as Christians, we could change the world too. We could change the world too. God can use us to accomplish that. We'll talk about that maybe later this week. But understand, these people they don't care. It's about time that God's people start to care. Let's not have a careless heart. But I want you to see the consequences. We see it in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 9 through 11. Again, speaking there of Babylon, sudden destruction happens for these folks. I'm not going to go there for sake of time this morning. But we talked about it last night. Sudden destruction. Destruction comes when we don't care. Destruction comes when we don't care. But I want you to see Psalm number 82 and verse number 5. Would you see this? Not only does sudden destruction come as a consequence of a careless heart. When we don't care, we're not paying attention and things. I'm a 49er fan. Anybody football fans? Okay. How many Arizona Cardinal fans? Anybody here? Oh, you poor people. I am a 49er fan, and not because they went to the Super Bowl last year. I'm a 49er fan from way back in the day when a man named Joe Montana was the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And you say, how long ago was that? It's too long ago. I don't want to tell you, all right? But I remember they were on their way to go to the Super Bowl. In fact, they were expected to win the Super Bowl that year. And they were in the last 2 minutes of the game. Joe Montana was famous for bringing a team back in the last 2 minutes of the game to win the game. He had done it several times, and they were in the championship game. And as they lined up to in the last 2 minutes of the game, as they lined up there, they were playing against the New York Giants. And a man named Lawrence Taylor, and he had a cohort that was with him on the other side. And Joe Montana went back for a pass to throw the ball down the field. And undoubtedly, he had in his mind he was going to be a big play and so on. But the defensive tackles for the New York Giants had other plans. And as he dropped back to pass, and on his blind side, a defensive end came and smacked Joe Montana, and he lost the ball and was injured severely and actually had to be pulled from the game and was no longer able to play that game. And the 49ers lost that game. They didn't go to the Super Bowl. In fact, it was a turning point in Joe Montana's career. He never was the same quarterback after that hit. He was later traded to the Kansas City Chiefs and never had the same success as he had had before. All because he didn't look over his shoulder to see the guy coming. He didn't care about that at that moment. He cared about what he was doing and what lay in front of him. Sometimes young people, we act just like that, and we don't care. We're not paying attention, and destruction comes. But I want you to see Psalm 82 and verse number 5. The Bible says this. He says, "They know not where, neither will they understand. They will walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course." Listen, you know what? When we're acting carelessly, we walk in darkness. We're walking in darkness. You know, my children over the years like Legos. Anybody here a Lego fan? You know, Legos are great. I had Legos when I was growing up. You say, Legos were that old? Yeah, Legos are that old. They were the big ones back. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, Legos were cool. But you know, there's a problem with Legos, especially if you're a parent. Because, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, the child needs some help or needs something, whatever. And you know, when they're needing help, you don't stop to turn on the lights because you'll wake up everybody else and their uncle. But if you have children that like Legos, there's landmines everywhere. And if you've had the unfortunate opportunity to step on one of those things, it is miserable. Last night in the trailer, I was getting ready for bed and wasn't watching where I was going, and I brought a rock in with me. And man, that rock had all kinds of pokey things on it. And man, it hurt when I stepped on the thing, and I was not pleased by that. Listen, and when you're walking in darkness, you can run over things that you didn't expect to be there. The devil lays snares and so on in your life and in mine, and if we're not careful, we can fall into those. Listen, when people walk carelessly, they walk in darkness. We find that understanding is dulled in Acts chapter number 28 and verse 27. The Bible says the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, lest they should be converted and I should heal them. Listen, you know, when you and I walk carelessly, we're not caring, we're unconcerned. We're dull of hearing. Our understanding is dull. It's amazing to me that the things that people think nowadays. They don't think critically. They don't think biblically. They just receive anything and everything. And can I say to you, the Bible says we need to have an understanding heart, a discerning heart. But you know what? You only get that way when you care. When you desire to walk with God and have a concern and a care to walk with God. Don't have a careless heart. Don't have an unconcerned heart. I hope this week that you'll come with the attitude, God, I want to know. I want to know. I want to understand. I want to know what your will is for me. I want to know what it is you desire for me to do. I want to be obedient to you. I want to follow through with what you've asked me to do. I want to do what you want. I care. It's people that care that make a difference. It's people that care that change situations. You know, I think about Paul. Paul cared for his people. And because he cared for his people, the nation of Israel. In fact, he went so far as to say, I wish that I myself could be accursed for my brethren so that they could know the Messiah. He cared. And you know what? His care caused him to do great things for the Lord. Can I say to you, it'll help you and me to reach our people with the gospel of Jesus Christ too. Don't have a careless heart. But I want you to see number three quickly today and we're done. I want a crushed heart. A crushed heart. A broken heart. You see, a broken heart is something that's important. Broken vessels. I was thinking about, as I was meditating last night, I was thinking about the message this morning, a brokenness. And, you know, God uses broken things. You know, you may look at your life and say, man, my life is a mess. It's broken. I've got all kinds of issues and problems and all kinds of things that are going on in my life. Can I say to you, join the crowd. You know, as I get older, the more I find out, the more broken I am. And you know what? That's okay. Because God can use broken vessels. I'm reminded of Gideon. We'll talk about him later. But Gideon, when he fought against the people of Midian, and he was given, they gave him some great tools to use, to 300 men to fight against over 120,000 soldiers. That doesn't sound like good odds. But yet God gave them, and God had him use three instruments. He gave him a torch that was put in a pitcher, and he gave them a trumpet, and they had a sword by their side. And Gideon said, when you see what I do, you do as I do, and you shout as I shout, and I'm going to break this pitcher, and when I do that, you shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The only problem is you can't carry a sword and carry a pot at the same time. Think about it. You can't carry a trumpet and a pot at the same time. You see, the sword was still strapped to their side. They didn't pull the sword out yet. There was going to come time for that. But God said, I want you to use the trumpet and I want you to use the pitcher. And the pitcher held the light in it. And the light was great, but the light didn't do any good while it was still in the pitcher. But when they broke that pitcher and the pitcher was broken, the light was exposed. And God was able to use that. God used it mightily in that situation. Listen, young person, God has something inside of you, if you're saved today, that He wants the world to see. And so long as we are completely whole, they can't see it. And you know what He has inside us? The Lord Jesus Christ. God wants the people to see Him, not us. I'm not important. I'm thankful that I'm important to God. But whether anybody knows my name or God knows, anybody else knows who I am or whatever, that's immaterial. People need to see Jesus and not me. And you know, that they see Jesus most when I'm broken because they see Him through me. And God wants to do that for you and for me. And so, just quickly, some causes of a crushed heart. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 18, The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Causes, well, being contrite over sin and over self. Are you sad? Does your sin bother you? Does my sin bother me? Am I broken over, or do I look at it like, oh man, I blew it again, oh, whatever, we'll just move on. No, our sin ought to bother us. When we do things that are displeasing to the Lord, we ought to be displeased ourselves at ourselves. Does your sin bother you? It should. It should. It should cause us to come to tears. Lord, I'm sorry. God, I thought that thought, and God, it's not right, it's wicked, and God, I'm sorry. And I need you to destroy that out of my life. I don't want that in my life anymore. I don't want that attitude anymore. I don't want that kind of speech in my life. I don't want these things in my life anymore. And God, I'm asking you to, I know you forgave me when I got saved, but God, I want you to destroy these things out of my life. A crushed heart comes as we're contrite over sin. A crushed heart comes as we concede our own unworthiness. I like the words of Isaiah 57 in verse number 15. Well, the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." To revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says, you know what, the cause of brokenness is recognizing my own unworthiness. I'm not worthy of anything. And if I got what I was worthy of, I'd be in hell today. Do you understand that? If you and I got what we deserve for who we are, we would not be here today. We'd be in hell. Right. I'm not worthy. The only worthiness I receive is because of what Jesus has done for me. He's the one who makes me worthy. You know, and when I think about my own unworthiness and where I am and what I've done and the things that I think about, Brother Troy, I thought about this recently over the last couple of years. You know, when I got saved, God forgave me of all of my sins. He did that, so Scripture tells me. He forgave me of all of my sins. I got saved when I was 4 years old. I am now 45. And when I was your age, I remember hearing Brother Riley saying, he was in his 40s, I'm like, man, that guy's old. And it doesn't seem old now. But, you know, when I think about it and look back at my life, you know, most of my sin wasn't before I was saved. Most of my sin has been after I've been saved. In fact, a lot of it. And the bad stuff that I've done. Because what real problems is a child going to get into at 4 years old? What kind of sin is he going to be guilty of? Most of my sin and my major sins have happened since I've been saved. And you know, as I think about my unworthiness, God chose to save me anyway, knowing all of the sins I would yet commit. And God forgave me of those things. You know, I think about it even as I was praying yesterday. You know, Lord, I'm sorry for these particular things. God brought things to my mind. But I know that God already forgave me for the sins that I have yet to commit, that He already knows that I'll commit today and tomorrow and the days going forward. Can I say to you, I'm not worthy for God to do that for me. And it causes me to be broken. God, forgive me. And God, I'm not worthy. But you know, God takes those unworthy vessels and He can do great things with them. When we concede our own unworthiness, and then when we're concerned over God's Word. Would you look at Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 2? Isaiah 66 and verse number 2. causes for brokenness, and I'm contrite over sin. I concede my own unworthiness. God, I'm not worthy. And you may feel that way this morning. Pastor, you don't know my life. And sometimes we get that nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms mentality. And we go through times like that. But can I say to you, God loves you and God cares about you. Read Psalm 139 from time to time. How much that God loves and cares and knows about you. And we're thankful for Him and what He does there for us. But notice here in Isaiah 66 and verse 2. He says, "For all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, that," what's the next word? "Trembleth at my word." That trembleth at my word. You know, God cares, and God is close to, we'll see in a minute, those that are of a poor and contrite spirit, but those that are concerned about God's word. What does God say? What does God think? I want to know how God feels. I want to understand. By the way, that's what Paul desired to know. Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable unto His death. Paul wanted to know Jesus Christ. And we know Jesus Christ in His Word. We know Christ because He is the Word. And here, the servant of the Lord, he says, hey, God is close to those that tremble at His Word. Is the Word of God important to you this morning? Is the Word of God important to you? Do you cherish God's Word? You know, I've made it a habit. When I travel with my Bible either goes in my briefcase or it goes with me in the front seat. It never rides in the trunk of my car. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? This is God's Word. You know, my electronic devices, they go in special places too. I don't just chuck them in the back of my car. I take care of them. I make sure that they're useful and that they've got the things that they need. And I don't just chuck them and throw them places and that kind of thing. But how much more should we do with the Word of God? The Word of God is valuable. You know, we've grown so accustomed to it. Most of us have many copies of it that we no longer cherish God's Word. But God's Word is His love letter from Almighty God to you and to me. And we need to be concerned about it. You say, Pastor, is there any consequences for having a broken heart? Sure. And here's some of them. You can see them today. But the consequences of a crushed heart, we get a salvation from the Lord. Salvation from God comes from a broken and a contrite heart. You see, God is always ready to hear and to help those that are broken in heart. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord it is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit." Can I say to you this morning, you get saved by putting your faith and trust in Christ. But in order for that to happen, you have to come to a place in your life where you realize that I'm not worthy. I can't save myself. I need Jesus to do it for me. You have to do that. If you don't get to that point, there's no need to be saved. There's no need to be saved. Because I've got everything figured out. I'm okay. Listen, if you're going to receive Christ, and there's some of you that need to receive Christ today, and I encourage you, don't leave here without Jesus. He wants to save you. He did everything that was necessary for you to know Jesus as your Savior and have a home in heaven with Him. He loves you. He died on a cross to save you. And if you were the only person upon this planet, He would have come, let you drive nails into His hand, raise Him up upon a cross, and He would have died for you because He loves you that much. But can I say to you, you don't ever receive salvation until you first realize, you know what, I can't do it myself, and I need Him to do it for me, and I'm trusting Him. Can I say to you that He is near those that are of a contrite spirit? Those that have a broken heart. God, I need You to do for me what I cannot do for myself. You're saved this morning. Can I say to you, you need victory over sin. God is nigh to those that are of a broken and of a contrite spirit. Pastor, I've been working. I've been trying. I still have problems with this sin in my life and this difficulty I'm facing in my life. God, I need help. Can I say to you, when we come to the end of ourselves, that's where He is. when we're broken in a contrite spirit. God is always there for them. We mentioned that in Isaiah 57, verse 15, how that He is the high and lofty one, and He is nigh to them. He is with them that are of a contrite and a humble spirit. Can I say to you, when we're God resisteth the proud, I believe it's 1 Peter, it says, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Maybe in James. God resists those that are proud, but those that are humble before Him, He is nigh to them. Do you need help today? I don't need help today. I need help today. I'm honest before God right now. I need God's help today. I need God's help every day. And you know, when I get to that place in my life where I acknowledge that I need God's help and I need you, God, I can't do it myself. God says, I'm there. I'll be there to help you. So salvation comes from God. Can I say that a crushed heart satisfies God? A crushed heart satisfies God. Isaiah 66, verse 2 says, "For all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look." God is speaking. To this individual that has this spirit upon him, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. God looks with respect. Listen, God looks with respect and favorable to the man that has a low and smitten heart. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this portion of Scripture, said this. He says, "He regards with favor the man that is humble and subdued in spirit. A spirit that is broken, is crushed, or deeply affected by sin. It stands in opposition to a spirit that is proud, haughty, self-confident, and self-righteous." God says, I look favorably to those that are humble, and I look unfavorably to those that are trusting in themselves. Can I say to you, when we have a broken spirit and we allow God to break our heart, God looks favorably upon that because we become dependent upon Him, not on ourselves. Maybe this week, God needs to break our hearts. God needs to break our hearts. God needs to break us so that we see who we are in light of who He is and the fact we need Him and we need to depend upon Him. And then I want to say this, our sacrifice is accepted by God when my heart is broken. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Can I say to you, when God breaks your heart and God breaks mine, God says, that's acceptable to me. Because now I have something and someone I can use. Think about it. If you have a clay jar that is made out of clay and things, you can't mold and make something out of that. You can't do anything. It is what it is. It's stuck in that place. But you know what? When you break it, yes, you've got to put parts back together, but it's more malleable. You can do things with it. And you know, God wants to do things with you and with me today. God wants to work in your heart and in my heart today. You say, Pastor, in your heart? Absolutely. I need to hear from God just like you do. And God wants to speak to your heart as He wants to speak to mine. But it's not until I get to a place of brokenness where God can work in my heart and in yours that He wants to. Let me ask you, young person, what kind of heart do you have? We mentioned last night about a calloused heart, a heart that has grown cold and hardened to the things of God. Don't have a hard heart. Maybe today you need to deal with that and ask God, God, please make my heart tender. I mentioned to you last night about playing guitar. You know, I've set the guitar aside for because I'm busy and doing other kinds of things like that. And every once in a while, somebody will ask me to help them with playing some chords or that kind of a thing like that and so on. And I pull out the guitar. And you know, because I haven't played it in a while, I no longer have those calluses that are there on my fingers anymore. And so when I try to press down on the strings, you know, my fingers are tender. And you know, you may not have been tender recently, but God can bring that tenderness back into your life if you'll let Him. Don't be careless. I just don't care. Your life matters, and what you do with your life matters, and we need not be careless in our heart toward the things of God. Maybe this morning you need to pray and ask God, God, would you give me a broken heart? God, would you break my heart toward my sin? We all do it. We all have it. God, would you break my heart toward my sin? God, would you make me moldable? And God, would you help me to have a heart that's contrite towards you and humble so that you can use me in a manner in which you desire to? Young person, what kind of heart do you have? Father, I thank you for this day. God, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to study the scripture today. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to examine our hearts. Actually, Lord, I'd rather we allow you to examine our hearts. As we said last night at Psalm 139, would you search our hearts, try us, and those. You're not looking for information. You already know what's there. But Father, I pray that you would reveal it to us, what kind of heart that we have. Maybe this morning we have developed a careless heart, an unconcerned heart. I really don't care. Things about God, that really doesn't matter to me. And maybe we've not gotten hardened yet, but we just simply don't care. Father, I pray that if that be the case this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us about it. Maybe today, Lord, it may be that we just need to ask you to break our hearts so that you can do in our heart and life the rest of this week what you desire to do, so that we will make the decisions that are pleasing to you, and God, that we will offer at the end of this week a sacrifice that is well-pleasing unto you as we offer ourselves to you. Father, would you help us this morning? I pray that you speak to hearts. I believe that you have and are. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to make decisions based upon that today. And Lord, I know that there are those likely here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. And Father, you died on a cross. You sent your Son to die on a cross to save them. And they need to come to a place to the end of themselves and realize that they need Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts this morning. And may they not put off that decision, but may they humble themselves and receive Christ as their Savior so that they can know that they have a home in heaven. Father, would you speak to us now in this time of invitation? May we be obedient to you in whatever you call us to do. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around,